All right, Book of Daniel. Now, I want to give a background before going to what I'm going to go into here. Don't panic. We're not going to preach again what we preached this morning. Nebuchadnezzar, he went into Jerusalem. He besieged Jerusalem. Now, he took over. He brought the kings, or the best of the children, I'll say, brought them back. Daniel, and as I told you, we all know the three guys by their Babylonian name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He brought them back. And Daniel stood up and think about this. Here these boys are. They've been on the trail for days and days, because Babylon just wasn't down the street. They didn't have big one-ton trucks to haul prisoners in. They had to walk. And no doubt by the time they got to Babylon, things were different. They were tired. They were thirsty. They were hungry. They were probably wore out. Maybe some were right on the edge of death. What do you think they saw when they got to Babylon? I got to reading about Babylon, and Babylon was a fancy place. Like I said this morning, it was a great empire. They had walls that were massive. Actually, they had chariot races on top of the walls so they could run side by side. That's some big walls. It was like, if I remember right, it was like 58 miles around that thing. It was huge. Babylon was not just your little old bitty city out in the desert. Babylon was a special place. If you notice in Daniel, and we're not going to read this, I'm just going to bring you up to where I want to be. Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to take them and give them the meat that I eat. Give them the wine from the king's table. I want you to beef them up, and after a certain amount of time, we're going to bring them in because I want them looking good. Now, here Daniel is, and here's these guys that are with him. And it was more than just the three that were with Daniel. But here they come. They come rolling into Babylon. They haven't eaten very well. They haven't had anything to drink, a whole lot of anything. They weren't taken that good care of. They had ropes on them, no doubt, because they were prisoners. And these people weren't known to be they didn't have the Geneva Law back then. They didn't have to take care of them. They bring them in. The first thing that happens is they say, give them food from the king's table. Give them wine from the king. Now, I don't know this because the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm going to picture, here we are, we're cruising along, we're being drugged like this, we're hungry, and all of a sudden you get to Babylon and, ooh, food. Oh, man, that smells good. I ain't never smelled nothing smelt like that. You know, remember, they were Jews. They didn't eat just anything. They had certain things they ate. They were required by law. They couldn't eat a lot of the stuff we eat. Praise the Lord that Peter, the sheep come down and the Lord said, eat whatever you want to eat. Woo! Because, hey, I like sausage. Amen. Man, that's good stuff. I like some thick bacon, not floppy, but not crisp, kind of in between. You know, I don't want it like a potato chip. If I want that, I'll go buy a bag of potato chips. You go to some of these restaurants and you eat your bacon, and it's like, that's like Lay's. You know, I want one that's chewy. Sometimes you got to really chew because it's, you know, you're getting old and your teeth don't work as good as they used to. And you know, that's, and I like sausage. Whoo, man, not turkey sausage. Chicken, that's nasty. I like pork sausage, you can't beat it. People will make deer sausage. Listen, don't get me wrong. I like venison sausage, but you can't outdo good old hog sausage. But here these guys are. They get there, and what are they tempted with? The meat from the king's table. And you got to figure, maybe, and it may not have been, but maybe just for us tonight, maybe Shadrach might have looked over and said, "Oh gosh, I'm hungry. Oh man, that smells good." And maybe Abednego, or Abistro, as Kyle likes to call him, maybe he thought, "Hey, ooh, man, that smells good." That would have been who? Hananiah, I think. "Man, that smells good." And all of a sudden, I hear Daniel, because Daniel was the leader, it seems. And I hear Daniel in the background say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 guys, listen. Hey, we can't do this. Look, I know you're hungry, I know you're thirsty, but we can't do this. It's against God." And, you know, then you got the other one. Maybe he says, "Well, who's going to know? They're all out there. We're in here now. They don't know what's going on. And besides, you in Babylon do as Babylonians do, right?" But Daniel's like, "No, no, 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 no." You see, as we read on in Daniel, we find out that Daniel said, "Uh-uh, we ain't doing this." He says to the eunuch guy, it's basically their boss now, he says, "Hey," he said, "do us a favor. We feed us this beans and what have you. Give us that stuff. Try it out for a little while. If you don't see anything that you like, hey, we'll go the other route." But Daniel wanted to keep himself pure. But you see, what we got to see in this whole deal here, as we were reading that, and we've compared Babylon with the world, and we've compared Nebuchadnezzar with Satan. Listen, Satan is not going to offer you something that isn't good. He's not going to. Now, in the long run, it ain't good, but he ain't going to show you the long run. He's going to offer you the good stuff. That's what he's going to offer you. He's going to offer you things that, you know, on the outside, it don't look bad, but yet it's against God. But see, he gets you in that bind as he had these boys in, then it gets offered. You're down in the dumps, and life just is falling apart. And what gets offered? There's always a drug, something to pep you up. Oh, you can drown out your miseries. Jack Daniels will do it for you. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Jack Daniels will drown out your misery until in the morning. And when you wake up, it's an experience, you've got more misery than you ever thought could happen. And then you peek out the window because you're not sure what you did. And you're not sure if there's blue lights waiting or not, you know. But that's what, see, Satan doesn't show you the whole picture. All he shows you is the good part. He don't show you, in all of our commercials, you got plenty of alcohol. When I was a kid, they had the Marlboro Man. He gets on the horse, he's in the cowboy attire, he's a cool looking dude, and he's on a buckskin, which was my favorite color of a horse. Actually, I had one. And he's sitting on the side of the hill and the mountains out in the distance. Fires off a Zippo, not one of these cheap Bic lighters. Man, he pops open a Zippo, you know, one of them nice fancy chrome ones. Fires off his Marlboro. But see, Satan don't show you the end result. The alcohol commercials. Satan doesn't show you the end result of the alcohol commercials. I've seen the end results. Some of you may have. It's not good. He doesn't show you that. And so he was tempting these guys with all of this stuff. And that's the way the devil works in our lives. And if we're not careful, we can get tangled up in all of these things. But it says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Daniel, he said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's pretty impressive of Daniel. Daniel's in a foreign country, has no idea what kind of guy he's dealing with. He's seen what Nebuchadnezzar's done. The Babylonians, when you study those guys, most generally, they went into a place and they burn it down. Nothing left. They weren't the nicest folk in the world. So he has had an upfront visual. But you got to look at Daniel. Daniel says, I don't want to defile myself with king's meat. Wow, you ever thought about how that would sound to a guy working under King Babylon? King Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. Here King Nebuchadnezzar is. He's the most powerful man in the entire universe, far as the world's concerned. Here the officer of the eunuchs are. The king says, you take these guys. First off, they altered them physically. That's why he put them with eunuchs. We don't have to go there. You understand what that is. If you don't, look it up. So they alter them. Then Daniel stands up and says, I don't want to defile myself with the king's meat. Man, what a cut. You got to wonder if the guy might have backed up and said, you don't want to what with the king's what? You telling me my king's stuff is going to defile you? He got the best stuff in the world. But Daniel took a stand, and Daniel stood up for what he believed. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, even if it cost him death. Then as we go on down through the line here, we get to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here they are. And it don't put Daniel in this picture for us. I don't know where Daniel was. Daniel could have been out of state, out of town, on a mission. He worked for the king. He could have been out there doing something. I hope that's what it was. And these three guys, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream before all this took place about this big statue. Daniel gives him all the stuff about it, and so the king gets this idea, oh, I'm going to build me a statue of myself, what better person to do it of, and they're going to worship that statue. He had some help. Oh, king, why don't you build a statue? Because see, they wanted to get rid of some of these guys. What's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Here they are. When you hear the music and all the different things play, everybody bow down and worship the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't, you're going to be put in a fiery furnace. Now, those guys had done their homework that set all this up because they knew that them three boys ain't going to do that. That's a pretty good testimony. Ask yourself this question. At school, if you go to school, at work, with your family, do they know you well enough to know what you will and will not do? Do they know you claim to be a Christian? Will you say, uh-uh, I don't do that? Even though you're going to be the only family member that doesn't, do they know you that well? These guys in Babylon, that set this deal up, they knew that these boys weren't going to stand up, because that was their whole idea, was to get rid of them. They were problems. They were taking their jobs. The king trusted them. And what took place? They all get out there, toot, 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 toot. The music goes off and everybody bows down, and here they stand. You ever felt really out of place? I'll give you a little story. I won't tell you all of it. My sister dated a nut years ago, and I won't say which sister. They both dated some nuts. But anyway, and he really loved music, and he liked dancing. And I was with him one night, and we were out doing things we shouldn't have been doing. And we end up at this nightclub. I'm pretty sure I've never been to this place, and I'm not sure even, it was out in the middle of nowhere. We walk, and he assured me, oh, I know everybody here. I'm like, well, and where I'm from in Mississippi, you got to be really careful about where you go to beer joints and things of that nature. We walked in, and by the time I recognized where we were at, we were about halfway in. All of the music stopped. You could have heard a pin drop, and there wasn't a white person in there except for me and this guy. And they're all looking at us, and I'm thinking, this ain't good. We're talking the 70s. I felt way out of place. By the way, he knew some people there, and everything got happy, and we were all good. But I got to figure that's the way they felt when everybody hit the bricks, but those three, there they stand. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, we know the story. He liked these boys, and no doubt they worked for him, and they were trustworthy, and they give them another chance. And of course, they upset the king because they said, oh, king, we ain't even got to think about this. Here's what we're going to do. We ain't going to worship you. God will deliver us from the fire. And then they said, but if he doesn't, he'll deliver us from your hands, O king. Oh, that torqued him off. Put him in the fire. Jesus is in the fire with him. We know the story. You got to hand it to him. But the question is can we stand up to that kind of persecution? I'm going to be honest with you. I can't totally answer it. I'd like to think that God will give me what I need at that time to do that. And I feel he will. But I'm going to tell you an easy way to know that. Grow closer to the Lord. The closer we get to the Lord, the easier that day would be. Now, where actually I wanted to get to, that's just added info that I won't charge you for. The Lord laid it on my heart to bring it. But really what I wanted to get to was King Nebuchadnezzar's problem. King Nebuchadnezzar, you see, the Lord opened the door for all of what took place. Opened the door for his power, put him in the position that he was in, made him the top king over the entire known world. But Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. It's called pride. Now, have you ever had a pride problem? Surely not. Pride is the beginning of all problems. Pride, honestly, is the birth of it all. If we didn't have that little pride problem, we wouldn't have a lot of problems. We wouldn't bring a lot of sin on us that we have. So Nebuchadnezzar had another dream, and I'm not going to go through the whole dream, but he had this dream, and it really troubled him because he could not understand it, but he knew Daniel could answer the dream for him. And he went to Daniel, and Daniel told him, he said, here's the dream, O king, and I'll shorten it up for you so I won't mess up the story, but he said, if you don't change your attitude, king, Realize why you're where you're at. It's going to be taken away from you. Well, look at verse 30 of chapter 4. I believe it's verse 30. Verse 30 of chapter 4 of Daniel. After about 12 months, you see, he had this dream. He got it interpreted for him. Daniel was scared to interpret this dream, by the way, but there Daniel is again. He took a stand. And he didn't worry about what the king was going to do to him. He told King Nebuchadnezzar the truth. He said, King, you're going to lose your kingdom because you're not honoring the Most High. Well, you got to hand it to Daniel again. He took that stand in the face of, could have died, because he told King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you're a sinner. You're wrong. Well, the king, after about 12 months, it says in verse 29, he walks in and he says this. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He had a pride problem. What did Satan do? Satan says, I will be above the Most High. I'm going to be above God. King Nebuchadnezzar had the same problem. If we're not careful, we can get that same issue. If we're not careful, we can let pride get in there, and pride works on you, and pride will cause you a lot of issues. We got to be careful with that. There again, the closer we get to the Lord, the less of that we got to worry about. You see, the king got turned out that same day, that night. His kingdom was taken from him. He was actually out in the fields grazing with the oxen, eating grass, and his fingernails grew like, and toenails grew like eagle claws. And that, his dream had told him that, and Daniel had interpreted it for him. And he told him, he said, O king, he said, you're going to be out there 7 years until you realize who the Most High God is. Which he did. By the way, God restored his kingdom, which was pretty amazing. That was work of the Holy Spirit, to be honest with you, because usually when a king went off their rocker, they eliminated that king. They killed him because he had a harem, and somebody would take control of that and jump into his harem and take over the kingdom. For 7 years, they didn't have a problem with that. And Nebuchadnezzar's out there in a field until he realized who the Most High God is. And the Bible even tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar admitted, he said in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You see, what I want you to see in this that we've talked about tonight is our stand for the Lord. We need to make sure that we are willing to do what Daniel did. We need to make sure that we're close enough to God that we'll say, you know what? I'm going to stand in the face of danger, even though it might cost me my life. I'm going to stand in the face of this deal, even though it might cost me my job. And we don't want to let pride get in our way. You see, people in positions like, well, I'll use a preacher, for instance. Preachers, If they're not careful, they can get into pride quick. Oh, people come by and listen, I enjoy and I do like it when people say, oh, Pastor, I enjoyed the sermon. What I'm hoping is that enjoyment is that it spoke to you. I don't want it to come to me as, well, yeah, I did a good job, didn't I? Listen, if I get that kind of attitude, I got a problem, but listen, it happens. These guys get to thinking, oh, look at what I'm doing. And before long, there's a lot of them buy Lear jets, and they wear these fancy Armani suits that cost you $5,000 or $6,000, and they didn't have them. I'll take my jeans any day. And but pride gets in there, and pride causes a real problem. And don't ever think you can't be taken down, because look who God took down. The most powerful man in the entire world, King Nebuchadnezzar. He, no doubt, was the most powerful man in the known world at that time. But when it comes to God, greater is he that is within than he that is without. Listen, there's nothing above God. God can fix our problems. God can give us what we need to stand in the face of danger. You're not going to tell me for a second that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't nervous about staying standing when everybody bowed down. I'm going to tell you, they were humans just like us. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, do you realize how old he was? Brother Louis, he was about your age. Around 80? No, you're not. You're 50, huh? No. He was about 80 years old, somewhere right in that area. See, we picture Daniel in the lion's den as a little boy in the big lions. Uh-uh. When you figure up his years, he was about 80 years old when he was dumped over in the lion's den. Not a chance in the world of taking on a lion. He might, could have maybe 20 years old if he was strong. We know David did. Don't say it can't be done. David took out a lion and a bear. I personally don't want to wrestle with either one, but he did. But Daniel was 80 years old, thrown down in the lion's den, and he depended upon the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, they were human beings. They had the same sin nature we've got. I believe they got nervous, but I can't find anywhere in the Word of God where Daniel faltered, not even a little bit. Why? Because of his closeness with God. His stand that he took for God. See, with the little bitty thing, he didn't have to face the king off. He says, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Don't make us eat that stuff. I don't want to defile myself. But really, this guy felt sorry for him. I'm sure he did after all they'd been through already. And he says, okay. He says, I'll let you do your trial you want to do. And hey, the Lord blessed. But later on in years, when you read about Daniel, Daniel stood up to the king more than once, told the king in King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, he says, King, you're wrong. God's put you where you're at. You're the man. You're going to end up out in the field like an ox eating grass. He told the most powerful man in the world that. The king could have said, take his head, and it happened right then. But he was willing to do what God had told him to do. When he was put in the lion's den, why was that? Because they made a decree. Again, they were working against Daniel. People out here will work against you. Your family will work against you to see if you'll fall. They said, we can't find any wrong in him. I don't know how we're going to fix him. There again, I know how we can fix him. We'll make it a law that he can't pray. And listen, Daniel's going to pray. He does it 3 times a day. And sure enough, they were right. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he didn't do it out of, oh, well, I'll show them. He'd done what he had been doing aforetime, the Bible says. And he went out and he prayed anyway 3 times a day. And he ended up in the lion's den, but the lions did get their meal. All these people that are against us, all these problems that may happen to us in the future if we end up persecution, go ahead and mark it in your book. They're going to get what's coming to them. The Lord's going to tend to them. They're going to wake up in hell one day unless they get saved. These people that, it's a pretty good picture. These people that arranged it where Daniel would get thrown in the lion's den because he was still serving his God, they got fed to the lions. God takes care of his people. Now, there are some that we read about, if you go over to chapter 11, that didn't live. They didn't make it. But you know what? They're in heaven. What a place to be. Amen. So I encourage you, read the book of Daniel. Research the book of Daniel. Research Daniel. You won't find anywhere where he faltered. He might have got nervous and he might have thought, well, this ain't going to turn out good. Lord, I'll be there in a minute. but you know what? He stood by what he stood for. He said, I'm not going to defile myself. He said, I'm not going to go against what God wants. And we need to have that same kind of attitude. But in that process, if anybody could have failed for pride, Daniel's one of them. The Bible, listen, I guarantee you Satan was after him on a constant basis. He was second in command. And whatever king came in, he moved right up the ladder. The very next one, right after Belshazzar, because Belshazzar was an idiot and didn't pay attention to what happened to Grandpa Nebuchadnezzar, and he died. Who was it? Darius that come in right after that? Daniel rose right up. Anybody could have had pride, it could have been Daniel. But Daniel knew what pride will do to you because of Nebuchadnezzar. We can know what pride will do to us because we saw what it done to Lucifer. We've seen what it done to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't let it get a hold of you. Even when you stand up and you come home, honey, I stood up and I tell you what, I stood for God today. Don't, well, you know, remember where it come from. God gives us what we have and we need to depend on him. Let's stand. We're going to have a song of invitation.